My heart is full. I've been praying all week and saying, Lord, you know, what do you have? And he gave me this passage at the beginning of the week, and so that's what I put down, and I prayed this morning again, and just really, it's wonderful. The Word of God is never old. The Word of God is never old. You could come to the same Word every single morning of your life, and it'd be fresh. Because it's active and living. And so the passage that was read, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9, is where we want to concentrate. So if you have your Bible, you want to turn there, just stay there as we move through it. And the you have a bulletin insert. If I haven't lost it here, where did I? Maybe I left it down there. Well, you have a bulletin insert anyhow that has the outline, okay? So here it is, right here. Praying beyond, God bless the missionaries. I want to ask the question, have you ever asked yourself, what good does it do to pray for missions? Have you ever asked yourself that question? And the second question that follows it is, what am I supposed to pray related to missions? Does it do any good? Does it make any difference at all? We were about 2 or 3 months into language study. I had been sick for about 10 days to the point where I had just spent time in the hospital the day before, completely dehydrated. The lady who helped us in our home didn't speak a word of English. And needless to say, we spoke very little Spanish. And so there had been some significant miscommunications that had gone on, and this had created some difficulty. My friend who I'd gone through Bible school with, who was one of my closest friends, had just written to me and said, that's it, I'm not following Jesus anymore, I'm not walking with Jesus. We had some kind of bugs in the house that we couldn't get rid of, in spite of the fact that our house was probably one of the cleanest houses in the city, because this lady who helped us just kept it spotless. And these little bugs were biting my little boy. And his face, he woke up and his face was all puffed up and red welts on his face. I wasn't in a good space. And Kirsten, who was about 3 at the time, she came to me, it was the afternoon, and she said, Daddy, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a walk. And literally, I could hardly walk. But I thought we should go. So we went. We went out, we started walking down the street, and all of a sudden a car, I believe it was a gray car, pulled up along the side of the street, stopped, a lady got out, didn't ask us any questions, didn't ask us if we're missionaries, didn't say anything, she just looked straight at us and she said, this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up and he said, pray for the missionaries. And you need to let them know that they're not alone. And you need to let them know that they're not forgotten. These were the exact same questions I was saying the night before. God, are we just alone here? Have you forgotten about us? When you ask the question, does prayer make any difference? It does. It does. And you may not know. You may not be the lady who gets to hear and see and come and have this exchange. Prayer makes a huge difference. That day on, nothing changed in our physical circumstances, but everything changed in our heart. And we found out later that people from Canada had been praying for us at that exact same time. And that, I could tell you, at least 100 times, if not 1,000 times, of incidents like that. So yes, it does make a difference. And then when you ask the question, what am I supposed to pray? Really, I find the safest and the best way to pray is to open up your Bible and say, Lord, let me pray from the Scriptures, through the Scriptures, for our international workers, for our missionaries. And that's where I want to lead you this morning. I want to lead you through this passage of Scripture. Context, this book, the Bible, is a missionary book. And that was a different message I wanted to preach, but I'm not going to preach that this morning, okay? This is a missionary book, but very, very quickly, you start in Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 1, we find that God loves us. He created us to walk in a love relationship with him. That relationship got messed up in chapter 3. And in chapter 11, he spread the peoples of the earth from one people group to many nations. It's called the Tables of Nations in Genesis chapter 11. And in Genesis chapter 12, he presents his plan and his solution through a guy by the name of Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And through you, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. And really, that's the scriptures. And you follow through and the rest of the story fulfills that promise. And Jesus Christ is the center of that promise. And when he came, he fulfilled that promise. And then he said to his disciples, go and finish the job, reach the nations. That's what the Bible is all about. So the context of Luke chapter 10 is Jesus has arrived. He has been training his disciples to go to the nations. And here in chapter 10, he's actually, for the first time, he sent out the 12 in chapter 9. And in chapter 10, he sends out the 72. So he says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 and he sent them out two by two. He sent them to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, and here's our very first point when we're talking about how to pray for missionaries or international workers. And you know what? This is not just for international workers and for missionaries. This is for each one of us. This prayer you can pray for yourself. Please take this home and for the rest of your days until you die, pray this for yourself and pray this for your church. And then pick an international worker, someone who we've sent out. We got 200 of them. There's lots of them. You come and ask me and I'll give you a name. And pray for them. I saw the Tave sisters last night. And Cindy and I picked them when we were like 25. And we prayed for them. And then they pray for us. And so personalize it. And pick one. But let we start with this. Lord, send out new workers. Jesus looked up and he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So if we put it on a local level, on a personal level, stick a sticker on your door of your house that says, Lord, send me out. Send me to my workplace. Send me out to where my family goes. Send me to the sports arena. Send me around my neighborhood. Send me, send me, send me. And realize that you are on mission and that God is sending you out. But then expand that prayer past the local to the global. And will you, as Arendale Alliance Church, I'm preaching this message in every single one of our Alliance churches where I go, because we need a whole new wave of missionaries. If we don't have that within 10 years, our missionary force is going to drop by like 40%. And so this is simple. We don't need a great big program. We don't need a great big plan. We don't have to plan for 6 months and say, how can our church make this happen? All we got to say is, Lord, send them out. And within the church, within this church, we saw these children here. You have children in Sunday school. The Sunday school teachers are to pray, send them out. The Awana workers or the club workers, if you have a club program, you pray, send them out. The youth, where's Matt? Matt, you shamelessly, you pray, send him out. And you say, oh, what are the parents going to say? No, I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm going to tell you my story. The parents, we as parents are to be praying, Lord, if you have called any of our children to go internationally, we know that that will be a small percentage, but there will be some. Say, Lord, set them apart. Call them. Clearly call them and send them out. Grandparents, are there any grandparents here? Raise your hand. I was preaching on this in Regina, and Al and Joan were there. And actually, Joan was there and Al wasn't. And Joan went home and she said, Al, we have to change our praying. We have to change our praying. We have to release our grandkids. We have to pray over them. We have to talk to our kids and say, if God has called someone from here to go somewhere over there, man, we got to bless him. And so the story is very quickly. Estevan Alliance Church. And I can tell, I have a whole book here of stories of our international workers who you can trace their calling to a prayer. So Estevan Alliance Church, and there's Bob Peters and his elders and their wives, and they're saying, we haven't sent anybody out as an international worker with the Christian Missionary Alliance. We should start praying into this. Sunday nights, once a month, let's get together. Let's pray for this. And they did this, and they did this. And while they're doing this, they have this program. What was it called? Pioneer Clubs? I think it was called Pioneer Clubs. And there's a young gal in grade 10, I think, 10 or 11, and she's coming to this club program. She doesn't know Jesus. So they were praying. God sent him out, and the person wasn't even saved yet. And this young lady in a grade 10 or 11, something like that, came to know Jesus. And then she came to one of their missions conferences, and there was an international worker, and he was talking about, he didn't even say, do you want to be a missionary, or is God calling you to this? He just said, are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do and go wherever God wants you to go? And she said, well, yes, of course. I mean, why wouldn't I? I've just come to know Jesus. And so she came forward, and they prayed for her. And after, the elders and their wives and pastor came, and they all said, Sheila, it's just so wonderful that you want to be a missionary. She said, I went home and I cried. I didn't know that's what I was signing up for. And then she prayed this prayer. She said, but Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I want to do. Sheila is one of our Creative Access countries, been there for 25 years, speaks the language wonderfully. I was there. I was with her. I walked the soil with her. I met people in that country who've come to Jesus because she's there. Pray the Lord of the harvest. He will send forth workers into his harvest field. And literally, like I say, I could tell you a dozen stories like that. I'll just tell you mine. I'm in Bramley, Ontario. I'm 22 years old, and Phil Taylor is the international worker. Anybody know Phil here? Man, Phil is, he makes the Apostle Paul seem like a gentle soul. Phil is hardcore. And he preached a message that the Holy Spirit just drilled into me. And I was sitting there just crying. And I knew that the Lord was saying, I am calling you to go. So I came up to the front and I'm crying, and there's snot all over the, you know, that kind, sorry, being, but you know, the really bad one. And Phil's saying, what's the Lord saying to you? And I said, I think he's calling me to go. And he says, well, get up and get going. That's literally what he said. But that night I phoned my mom, and I said, Mom, God has answered your prayer. Because before I was ever born, I didn't find this out till I was 32 years old, but before I was ever born, God had spoken to my parents and said, this one will go to the nations. They never talked to me about it. They didn't pressure me. They didn't try to coerce me. And that was so wise of them. They just waited and prayed. And I said, Mom, I'm going to go. I remember hearing her crying, and she's not crying because, oh, no, my son is leaving. She's crying tears of joy. God is going to send someone. And a permanent picture in my mind is my mom sitting at the kitchen table just praying and say, oh, God, would you send at least one of my kids to the nations? Parents, will you do that? Grandparents, will you do that? We're not talking about, you thought, oh, I was going to, that's why I say beyond God bless the missionaries. It's going way beyond that. This is giving your very kin, your family, your blood. That's what we're talking about. Will you pray that? I have one who's preparing right now, getting ready to go. You know what? When I saw her, when she was this high, it wasn't hard to pray that God would send her to the nations. And now I go, I'm still committed, Lord. You're going to have to pull me through. So will Arundale Alliance pray this prayer? God, send us out, and may some of us be new international workers to the least reached. The Alliance focuses where the gospel is not preached, where if we don't go, no one is there. Okay? So let's pray that. Let's pray that God will protect our international workers physically and spiritually. This is always relevant. I got off the phone yesterday from one of our regional developers. That means he takes care of a whole part of the world where we work. And I was talking about one of our workers and saying, I've been trying to get a hold of him. I need to talk to him. And he says, you're not going to be able to talk to him for at least 6 months. I said, why is that? He said, because he's under surveillance. Everything he's doing is being watched. And he's a close friend of a person from another missions organization, and they've already hauled him in and kicked him out of the country. And so that's what life is like here. We need to pray for protection. Pray for protection. We were in a parking lot. Our little guy was about 3 years old. He's a very active, now he's 18, 19, Caleb. And he just ran out. He just ran out from where our car was. And he's just like this. You can't see him if you're sitting in the oncoming car came. And I honestly believe that the only way his life was saved and the only reason he was safe was because someone was praying for protection for him. This story is more fun. It's longer. It's fun now. It wasn't fun when it was happening. We were 1 year into language study, finishing it up, and a guy by the name of Martin had been my language helper all year long. And he said, I want to take you out, and we're going to climb up a mountain. I said, okay. Costa Rica doesn't have the Rocky Mountains. They don't have anything like that. And so I thought this would be a little hike up the hill and turn around. Come down. And we get there, and it's a major climb. In fact, the very first thing is there's a waterfall. I said, well, where do we go? And he says, straight up the waterfall. I said, my goodness. I had shorts on, running shoes. I wasn't prepared for any of this. But anyhow, we get up there. We got a late start. We look around. We start coming back down. And all of a sudden, and it's getting dark. And 5:59, it's light. 6 o'clock, it's dark. And he says, Paul, I think we're lost. I said, Martin, you said you've climbed this mountain like 10 times. He said, I have. I've never been lost. It's the first time. I said, oh, no, this is not good. And literally, it got dark. And I was completely exhausted. I had nothing in my tank. And he climbed down one face. He was in front of me. And he went down. I was coming above. And all of a sudden, he says, you have to go back up. I said, I can't. And he said, you can't. And I heard the urgency in his voice. I said, Lord, I can't do anything. I need your protection. I need your strength. And somehow climbed back out. And literally, he had climbed down, and there was just a sheer drop about 20 feet below us. We actually finally got out, as you can tell, because I'm here. But we came up onto the highway, and he's in front of me, and it's dark. By this time, it's pitch black. He puts his hands up in the air. And I go, I like to worship Jesus, and I'm very, very thankful, but I don't think I've ever seen him do this in church. I climb up behind him, and there's two guys, policemen, with rifles pointing at our heads. There had been an assassination in that area, and these guys were combing the area, and they thought we were the bad guys. I just shut down. I completely shut down. And all I could think about is, I wonder who's praying for me now. It's not always that dramatic, but every day, that's the physical side. The spiritual side, I was with a couple, and the only reason I believe them is they're international workers, and I don't think they're lying. But I don't have a paradigm for the kinds of things that they've experienced in the spiritual realm and the opposition and how they saw this group they're priests of the national religion. And they moved in next door, and they started to worship their gods, and they said, our house got darker and darker and darker, and then we started having suicidal thoughts, and there was all kinds of problems, and then there was actual manifestations of demonic things, and And then they said, and then we just had to call out. We had to get people to pray. We had to fast. We had to ask the Lord to break this thing. And I can't go into the details, but the Lord showed up. Actual angels showed up in their house and cleaned it up. And those priests were supposed to be there for 2 weeks. They left 4 days short of the 2 weeks. They left. They came back the next year. They only lasted 1 day and they left. Pray that God will send us out. Pray that God will protect physically and spiritually. That's what the word says right there in verse 3. It says, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. You got that picture? Does that look like a safe picture? Who wants to be the sheep? That's dangerous space, dangerous place. Can we pray that? Let's pray. Third one is pray God will provide for our international workers through us. And it would take more time and more scripture to lay out, but there's a solid foundation for that. He here is speaking to the international workers. He's speaking to his disciples. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. So he's speaking to them. But now this morning, we're speaking to those of us who are sending them. And he is our provider. And if you go through the other passages of Scripture, the missionary, the Apostle Paul, he will talk over and over again, thank you for providing. Thank you for making it possible for me to be here. Thank you so that these people can be reached. But will we pray that we will become the channels? And I say to this church, and many of you have been faithful here for decades, you have done this, and I thank you for it. And currently, many of you are doing this, and I thank you for it. But I share with you something I shared last night. In our Alliance churches, many people don't give one penny to the Global Advance. I don't say that to shame you. Some of you might not even know what the Global Advance is. It's our central fund by which we send out all of our international workers. But if everyone would participate who just normally attends and would give $20 a month, what is $20 a month? Do you go to McDonald's? It's $20 a month. You go to Tim's, it's $20 a month. If you do anything, it's $20 a month. Surely that's not too much to ask. And so when we pray, oh, God, provide for the missionaries, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I a channel through which he is providing? I tell you my own story. I am not a saint. I am a saint. In Jesus, I am a saint. But I don't behave like a saint all the time. And I remember when I was in Bible college, the first year is when I learned this lesson. And Ron Gertson, some of you know him. I mean, he doesn't even remember it. I talked to him and he doesn't remember. But it was a missionary meeting Friday night. And he preached and he said, everybody here needs to make a faith promise pledge. I went out of there and I was mad. What is a faith promise pledge? We don't talk about it anymore, but this is what it is, and the principles are still current. It's you go to God and you talk to him about what's my ability. And that varies for every single person in this auditorium. What's my ability? And then you say, what can I sacrifice? That's the second part. And the third part is, what can I have faith for that I do not even have, but I believe God will put into my hand so that I can give it so people can go to the nations? And I walked out. I remember I walked out of the missionary meeting. I'm just talking to God and I'm saying, who does that guy think he is? I mean, I'm a Bible school student. I don't have any money. If I get any money, I owe it to the school. I don't have any money. And right in the middle of my ranting, the Holy Spirit spoke so clearly to me and he said, I want you to promise to give $100. Well, back then, 30-some years ago, that was a lot of money, and especially for a guy who didn't have it. And so I said, Lord, my ability is zero. My sacrifice is zero because I have nothing to sacrifice, so I'm just over here on the faith thing. You want me to promise to give $100 that I don't even have? He said, yeah. I said, okay, it's just between me and you. Nobody's checking in on us, huh? And you know, over the year, in small ways and bigger ways, somehow when I finished the year, I'd given $100. And I go, oh. I came to the next year, and I thought, well, that was good. I'll do the same thing again. And the Holy Spirit, again, he just clearly said, I want you to give $200. I said, what? You want me to promise to give $200 that I don't have? Yeah. I went through the whole year, and I didn't get any money, and I'm getting down to the end of the year. I'm going, and I'm praying about it, and I'm trying to be serious about it and ask the Lord and see. One night, I'm playing basketball, and I break my foot. I didn't lose my train of thought. This is all connected. I go to the hospital. They cast it. I come back, and I'm feeling terrible, and my buddy comes in, and he says, hey, did you get your money? I said, what do you mean? He said, the school has an insurance program, broken limbs. I said, no way. He said, yeah, I'm not messing with you. Go to the nurse. You fill out the forms. You get money. Anybody guess how much a broken foot is worth? $200. I remember I got that money. I said, all right, I got $200. And it was just like the Lord said, I'll take that. That's one story. I can tell you dozens. Every year we trust, we pray. Last year, I remember we were coming down to the end and the global advance was short. And I said, Lord, we got a family budget. We don't have any extra. We don't have enough. Lord, would you just send some money that's just for me? That's the words I use, just for me. And I wasn't doing it to be selfish because I thought, if it's just for me, I can give it back. And a lady who had not given me money for probably 20 years, she sends me this little note and she says, it's so good to see you and whatever else. And she said, and I'm sending you this check of $300 that's just for you. Isn't God amazing? If we pray this way, he'll just pour out the money. He will, because we're not being selfish. So pray. Pray that God will send them out. Send out some new workers. Pray that God will protect them physically, spiritually. Pray that God provide for them. And in the process of him providing for them, he provides for us. I've never seen him not provide for me. I tell you this story. I'm bearing my soul here, guys. When I started pastoring in Martinsville, there was like five families. Can you imagine? I was their pastor, so I got my salary from them. Salary. And after a couple of months, the treasurer came to me and she said, oh, Paul, Pastor Paul, I haven't been sending the money to missions because we don't have money to pay you. And so I've been giving you the mission. I said, oh, don't you do that. God will do this. And from that day forward, every time she sent the missionary money away, there was always enough money for myself. God is no debtor. He'll make it happen. Okay, God will lead them to people of peace. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. This concept of person of peace, I'm supposed to finish soon. Okay. Person of peace is most often these people don't know Jesus, but they're open. They're actually searching for God. And so we need to pray this for all of our international workers and pray it for yourself. This week, God can take you to a person of peace. Their heart is open. They don't know Jesus. They don't even know what they're looking for, but their heart is open. There's going to be a response to your initiating sharing the gospel. And so we have this gal, her name was Sonia. Sonia, yes. And she's in the little grocery store. Her name is Perla. Her mom's name is Sonia. So Perla's in this little grocery store where we actually have a Bible study. The people there, those were people of peace too. They didn't know Jesus, but they opened their home. And so she goes in to buy a few vegetables at this corner store. And the owner says to Perla, you should come here on Wednesday night so that you could read the Bible with us and pray. That's what we do here. She goes home immediately and she says to her mom, Sonia, I think we've found what we're looking for. And they come, and they come to know Jesus immediately because they'd just been seeking. They were people of peace. And then they say to Heather Hahn, Heather was the original contact, they say, could we do this at our house? Heather said, let me check my school. Oh, of course we can. Yes, we can come to your house and read and pray and so we did. And one by one, every single member of that family came to Jesus. And then they had a place where we could meet with, as church. Right now, Alejandro, one of those sons, he became my prayer partner for a year. And now he's a Mexican missionary who works under the Braveheart Ministry that Heather founded, that goes out to the Huichol people who are an unreached people group. People of peace, pray. You can pray this for the rest of your life, and it's a relevant prayer. Pray that God will take the international workers to people of peace, and pray that God will take you to people of peace. I don't have time for the pray for perseverance. That's very, very important, where it says don't move around from house to house. That's a sign that don't just go jumping all over the place. You need to lean in and you need to persevere. I had a person say to me, I'll trust you in 7 years. Can you believe that? I said, why is that? They said, most missionaries leave before 7 years. Pray for perseverance. And finally, with this point, we'll wrap it up. Pray for the display of God's power through his workers and through yourself. I try to write down in everywhere I preach and what I do, but sometimes things get crossed. So if I've told you one or two of these stories before, please forgive me. But the display of God's power leads people to Jesus. You pick up your Bible and read through the Gospels, read through the book of Acts, and you will find that pattern over and over and over again. So we have to be praying for this and walking in this. And I don't like to just tell stories from over there that are 20 years ago. I like to tell current stories. We were in a Holy Spirit encounter weekend just 3 weeks ago, and a lady shows up, and I think she probably knew Jesus, but she's not from the church, and she's not have the right lingo. And on Saturday night, it was really quite funny. They said, would you like prayer? And she said, yeah, sure. What would you like prayer for? Well, I've had some stomach issues, and so... And the doctors can't seem to heal them. So, yeah, you could pray for that. So we asked if we could lay hands on her and pray for her. And we listened and we prayed as best we could. And all of a sudden, she just interrupts the prayer and she goes, my shoulder is really, really hot. Like where we were placing our hands. And she said, and I forgot to tell you, I fell down 2 years ago and I've had shoulder problems all the time and it always hurts. And then she stops, just like she's thinking. She goes, isn't that Jesus sneaky? We asked him to heal my stomach and heal my shoulder. That's the power. That's the power of God. We can't heal anybody. We need that kind of power. And I tell the story. It was the last Sunday before we were to leave Mexico at the end of our first term. And Mexicans love to celebrate. They love to bless you. And they love to eat. And I love to be blessed and I love to eat. That's the truth. And it was in our honor. And the phone rang that morning in the office of the church. And there's these two desperate sisters saying, can you send a pastor to the hospital immediately to pray for our dad because he's dying? Well, I was the super spiritual pastor, and I went around and tried to find another one who could go. Nobody could go, and so I ended up going. And I went with a grudge. I went out of obedience, but kind of grudgingly. I get there, and these people have never been in our church before. They just called there because they couldn't find one of their spiritual leaders to do this, and they believed that if somebody didn't pray with him before he died, then he'd be lost. So they didn't know Jesus. And I get in there, and this little skinny man who's got tubes coming out of his nose and his ears and everywhere, and he's just a skin and bones. I don't know if he was in a coma or not or anything, but the doctor said, for sure, this man will be dead within 48 hours. So I just say to him, Noe, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but Jesus came to forgive all your sins. And if you can hear me and you want your sins to be forgiven, you just say, yes, Jesus, I want you. And there was no response. And then I said, and Noe, this is all in the power thing. I'm going to pray that Jesus is going to heal you. Because he didn't come just to forgive our sins. He came to forgive our sins and heal our diseases. It says that in the Bible. It says it in Isaiah 53. It says it in Psalm 103. It says, by you forgive all of our sins and you heal all of our diseases. And so I'm going to pray that. And I walked out, and honestly, all I could hear was the enemy yapping in my ear. That was a waste of time, and you missed the tacos. The next day, I got a phone call. Noe had walked out of the hospital. And the next Sunday, he was in church. And he said, can I get up and say something? You know, you've never met this guy. You don't know what he's going to say. I thought, yeah, you can. He said, last Sunday, Jesus came to me and he saved me. And he healed me. And I want to follow him. Both here and now, people who don't know Jesus, we are in a time in history where they're not so much interested in our words, but they will pay attention when they see something. And so we need to pray that the power of God will be displayed and that people will be healed and that people will be delivered and that people will be restored. And over there, the same and that much more in places where demonic powers just rule everything.